Hi, and welcome to the Vine Community Church podcast. We hope that what you're about to hear will help you to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit through loving God, loving each other, and loving our community.
So, good morning. My name's John Adams, one of the lead pastors. At least I'm a lead pastor for about one more hour. Then this afternoon at 4:30, we get the pleasure of installing our new lead pastor, Tim. So it's going to be it's a great day. And thank you, kids. You guys have a great service as you go. And so we want to welcome you here to the Vine. Just to share with you, if you're visiting here today, Lizanne and I are going to go on about a three-month sabbatical, and then we're going to come back after 3 months and be pastor emeritus and work with prayer and work with also kind of a ministry we're starting together called What's Next, and how do people who are about 50 plus or whatever, there's no age exactly, but how do we find purpose and the callings of God, and how do we invest in the next generation? And then any way I can support Tim, I'm in it. I'm in it with you, brother. So we've been looking at the letter of Thessalonians these last several weeks, and and as we have been looking at this, we've been thinking about Lizanne and I, especially about finishing well in our lives. And today, as you know, I'm finished as your lead pastor, and we've been celebrating this for a long time, and it's been amazing. You guys have been so gracious to us. We feel the love of Christ. And this afternoon, as I've shared, we'll be celebrating Tim being our new lead pastor. Now, just because my role as lead pastor is ending, it doesn't mean the race of life is over. In some ways, Lizanne and I are just beginning. As we launch into this kind of new season of our lives, we're really excited about what God is going to do in repurposing us. Retirement is not exactly the word, but it's actually coming to God and saying, Lord, as we come together, what do you have for us? What do you want us to focus on? And how do we finish well, yes, in this very life? You know, until I breathe my last breath, I pray that I will continually say, God, you're Lord, help me to be focused on what you want me to be about. And I hope you have that heart too and that desire. And so today we're going to be looking at the last prayer in Thessalonians. And it's found in chapter 5 in verse 23 and 24. At the end of our worship services each Sunday, a pastor will raise their hands as if they are really putting their arms around you as God's people and pouring out what is called a benediction. A benediction, we call it a blessing and sending. But it is a word of God of literally kind of commissioning and sending God's people from the community and communion of saints into the world to be difference makers for the glory of God. So here is God's word. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, again, 23 and 24. And may he be praised as we hear and desire to follow the instructions of God's word. Listen now. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. What we're going to see from this passage is that what God starts, he finishes. Look again at verse 23. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. So what does that mean, the God of peace sanctifying you? First, it means this. Due to our sin, we all were once far away from God. We did not have a relationship with him, but we deserved actually judgment. But Jesus Christ bridge the gap between us and God, and he being God as well. And through his death and resurrection, we can, by humble faith, trust in his work, and he brings us into relationship with God. He brings us, another word for it is union with God. He brings us into a place where we're in an eternal relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the work of the God of peace. He saves us, he brings us into relationship, and then he sanctifies us, and we get his peace. And that is the best news. Listen, if you don't know that news, if you don't know this God, you need to get to know this God of peace. And he is continually giving us a sense of comfort, help, and a constant reminder that we are in him. We're in relationship with him, and he has done it all for us. Thanks be to him. But also, this means he is the God of peace with all our relationships. Every relationship we have, God is working in us at peace and then through us, his peace. And just to think about this for a moment, if people that you love, it's easy to kind of be celebrating and being in peace-filled relationship with. But think about for a moment the person you have the hardest time with. Okay, God wants to work in each one of us a sense more and more and more as we as Christ followers pray for that person, as we ask, Lord, help me to forgive them the ways that maybe they've hurt us. And also, forgive me for ways of my bad thinking towards that person. But as you and I continue to say, Lord, that person that we would even maybe say feels like an enemy, that we're praying for your peace to change us. It does change us. And you cannot help but have a changing sense of peace towards that person. And it really, in some ways, doesn't matter how they respond to you. It sure helps, right? If they respond rightly. But a lot of times they won't. But our role is to continually to say with all of our relationships, God of peace, we need you to sanctify us, especially with this relationship. But also it means in our hearts, in our own personal lives, he's the God of peace. You know, when we face the hardest of times or even the best of times, he's with us. But in those stormy moments, we need to know God's peace. And this God is with us through the craziest, hardest moments of our life. He is the God of peace who is sanctifying us. And that fancy word for sanctification means he is making us holy like God himself is holy. 1 Peter 1 says, be holy as God is holy. How do you do that? Well, you have to have God continue to sanctify you. So what does that mean? That is a big word. Well, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is a summary of which our church believes about the Bible, asks in a series of questions, and we're going to look at question 35. It says this, what is sanctification? And the answer is, class, will you say this with me? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. And isn't it beautiful, beautiful that God is working right now in us in such a way that we more and more, because of his work, Jesus' work, his grace, that we've received by simple faith, he is more and more killing our sin and causing us to know his righteousness. You see, the way that if you are a son or daughter of God, he sees you through the lenses The lens is of his perfect son and his work, Jesus' work. And he sees every one of you through that work. And so he sees you right now at this moment as perfect, not because you don't struggle with sin. We all do. But because he gives to you, credits to your very life, the righteousness of his perfect son. This is amazing stuff, right? That God would love us in such a way. This is the hope that we have in Christianity, that what God is working in us is the way he sees us is perfect, that we will realize only fully, ultimately, in heaven when we're face to face with him, right? But in this life right now, what we need more and more and more is to die to sin and to understand we're in that right standing already. He sees us as blameless, even though right now we still struggle. So what we see throughout in this passage today, Paul teaches us, and throughout really all of Scripture, is what God starts, he finishes. You know, I'm 64 years old, and you would think I would have this thing down of like being done with my sins. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I still struggle with them. In fact, early this morning, God gave me some good reveal on some stuff I needed to repent of. And it was actually beautiful and actually comforting to me. Because when we repent and see that sin, he reassures us of his great saving love. He, as we come to him in faith in the midst of our sin and struggle with sin and acknowledge it to him, he kills our sin more and more and more and causes us to know his righteousness, our right standing with him. You see, verse 23 continues, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. This is a way of Paul saying all of you, the whole person. And we know that God works wholeness in all of us. Well, how does that happen, you ask, John? Well, let me go back to the four-part story of the gospel of Christ, because this series is all about the gospel. And so we know in the beginning God created male and female in his image, in his likeness. And they had no flaws when they were created. And they lived in the Garden of Eden, and they were in perfect relationship with God. But, as you know, chapter 3 of Genesis, Adam and Eve and we together in them fell into sin and rebellion against God. And the relationship with God was broken because of our sin. And sin and brokenness has impacted not only their lives, but our lives and the whole world. But we know that God in his promise, he promised his perfect son Jesus to come. And he came and he lived this life we could not live. And he died and he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He's praying for us right now. He poured out his Holy Spirit to us. And one day soon, he will return. He does all the work we need. And we are in the process in this world, in chapter 3 of the four-part story of the gospel, of being sanctified. But one day soon in heaven, there's another word, we'll be glorified. And in that moment, when we're face to face with God, we will be sinless. We will once again be restored to perfection. And God, we will be in perfect communion relationship with God. I can't wait, can you? Man, that's going to be a day. May we look forward to that day. But until that day, may the God himself of peace sanctify us through and through. May our whole spirit soul, and body be kept blameless until the day of Christ. You know, God alone can do all this. And we have to trust him in it. We have to go to him and realize he's the repairer of all our brokenness due to our sin. Some years ago, I was actually given a car, a leased car to use, and it was a black convertible Mustang. My girls are here today. They didn't really like it because it messed up their hair. But I loved it, and I would drive this thing around, and it was incredible. But one day I was driving it in down the road, and the engine it went like a bomb went off. It went boom, and black smoke everywhere. I mean, it was like I could hardly see for a moment, and then I stopped. I go, oh no, and that engine was the engine was a goner. Now imagine if I had that car towed to my garage and I opened the hood, I took out my tools, I get a wrench and a screwdriver and start to work on that engine. Now, if you know me, you know when gifts were handed out, God did not give me the gift of mechanics. And by the way, you do not want me working on your car engine. And if I started working on that car, it would take me 100 years to even get it back together, and it wouldn't even work after 100 years. It would just not be good. So what did I do? I took that car to my mechanic, who was really excellent at what he does. And he, in about a week, had the engine repaired, and it was running great again. The point of the story is this, you and I need to keep learning, stop trying to fix ourselves. Stop trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Stop trying to earn or do things on your own. Stop trying to repair your image. Trust the God who repairs all brokenness due to sin. He knows you perfectly, and he alone. He promises in Revelation, I, the Lord, will restore all things. He's the restorer of all things. He's the one to trust. And we need him, especially when we're struggling with brokenness. And by the way, newsflash, we all struggle because with brokenness due to our sin. I think about in John chapter 8, when this woman who committed adultery was dragged before Jesus, and the religious leader said, condemn her. She is this immoral woman who should be stoned to death. And that was kind of the penalty for Jewish law for such a sin in those days. But what did Jesus tell them? John 8:7, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. You see, no one dared to cast the first stone because they realized what? They struggled with sin. They tried to make themselves look like they didn't, but we know they did. See, we all deserve blame due to our sin. We all deserve death. But here's the amazing good news of the gospel. He took your blame. If you're feeling any condemnation, Christ follower today, Christ took your condemnation. He doesn't accuse you when you sin. Oh, you should do better. You should work harder. Come on, haven't you been a Christian for a while? Or he doesn't just say, stop it. No, what he says is, with gentleness and kindness and compassion, he says, my child, yes, that grieves me, your sin. And yet I love you. I died for you. I love you with an everlasting love. Come to me. Turn from your sin and come to me and know my unremitting love for you. I will never stop loving you. And that is the beauty of the gospel of Christ. He both calls us to confess and repent and turn from our sin, but he doesn't condemn us. He doesn't cast us out or cast stones at us. He gently calls us as the master mechanic to himself, who he himself will rebuild the brokenness of our sinful hearts and will repair and give us new heart. See, when do we fully realize the benefits of this work, of what Christ has done? And it's at the finish line. And what is the finish line? Well, this verse says to us, the finish line is Jesus' return. Look at it. It says, that we would be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, his work is preparing you for his return. And the more we realize he doesn't accuse us when we sin, the more we're getting ready for his return. And when he returns again, we know he is going to cause us to realize we're free from sin when we are face to face with Christ Jesus, our Lord in heaven. And Paul here is trying to urge us to not give up in this life, in this third part of the story of the gospel, where we're not in heaven yet, but we right now are seen by him as blameless. So he's urging us to fight with using the means God has given to us, his word and the sacraments and the communion of the saints. And we're here today not because we're earning something, because we so desire by his grace to continue to grow us and sanctify us and to remind us that we are blameless in his sight. And as we run in his strength, he gives us this growing confidence that he has done everything we need to finish well. So how will you run to the finish line? And the answer is, you know, finishing well is the same answer for whatever season of life that you're in today. It's this: trust in Jesus alone, and trust Jesus at all times. Trust Jesus alone. It's only by his grace that we will be repaired and grow and know him and have our relationships restored and be carried through the hardest seasons of life. Some of you are going through a hard season. You know, when you get disappointed by someone in your life who's had like a failure in their life, and they were someone you really respected, that's a hard moment. God will help you. And when you maybe are just in a job that you're like, man, I feel really stuck, and I don't know how to get out of it. And you thought at the beginning that God had called you to it, and you're like really kind of puzzled because like, why am I stuck here, Lord? He will help you. He will be with you. Trust Jesus, especially at those times and in those times. And when you're just overwhelmed with busyness, and all of us face that. Some of you guys who have especially young kids, and you got sports schedules, and you got activities inside and outside of your house, and your schedule are just like crazy busy. And it's just exhausting even for me to think about. He himself will help you as you trust him alone and at all times. And if you're a little bit more seasoned, you know, he'll help you through those days as you trust him and you say, God, show me how I'm to live purposefully. Help me in that this season. It's hard. When you get a little bit older, it gets hard. There's hard moments. God, trust Jesus alone at all times. You see, I love Paul's confidence in God. He writes in verse 24, He who calls you is faithful. You see, our God who calls us, he himself will complete us. When we hit hard times in life, he'll carry us through. When in these times that I've shared with you, when you feel just you're struggling and you can't get out of it, he will help you in those moments. Because what God starts, he finishes. He is both the starter and the finisher and everything in between. If he calls you to himself, he will sustain you and grow you, and he will be with you until he completes you. And it's all by his grace. I love how Paul finishes in verse 24. He says, he will surely do it. You see, the confidence of a Christian is not in how good we are or how well we keep the rules. Our confidence is in our God and his faithfulness, right? He works on our behalf because of who he is and his character. And as we trust his faithfulness, his reliability, we can have a growing confidence in him and his work that he will complete us until the day of his return. I love how Paul urged on a young pastor. His name was Timothy. We know another Timothy here. But to this Timothy, who was the pastor of the church of Ephesus, he prayed this prayer: for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day, which is the day of Christ's return, what has been entrusted to me. Isn't that good? I love how Paul's confidence was. I mean, he was the most disciplined of men. There's no one here in this room who had the spiritual disciplines of Paul, likely. And yet he didn't rely on his kind of commitment and his discipline, his ability. He continually said, God, you're faithful. I need you desperately. I need to rely on you and you alone. And he said also in Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Again, the day of Jesus Christ is when Christ returns again. He says here in this passage, God's saying to us, I'm going to bring you to the finish line. What I start, I will finish. You know, that's such great news. He says here, Paul says, of God, he will surely do it. And I've just seen over these last 22 years of being your pastor, just so many ways that God has been sanctifying and growing you. You faced so many hard things, and we can't even begin to share the things you faced, and that you, so many of you are growing and continuing to ask God to help you trust him in hard things. And he is helping you as you trust him. And it's amazing to see this congregation continue to look to Jesus. And I want to urge you that we would do so just more and more and more. You know, I have so loved, and I know Lizanne and I both have so loved being a part of leading this church. You guys, the Vine Community Church is so near and dear to us. You, the people of God, he is growing. And we are confident that he is going to carry you to completion. And we just want to say thanks be to God for the joy and the privilege to be a part of this church family for so many years, and we're so glad we get to continue in that. Again, we're going away for 3 months, but we can't wait to get back to support our new lead pastor and his wife and family. And just to be a part of this beautiful, rich community of faith. Thanks be to God and his faithfulness. And thanks be to God for you and the way that he is working through you and in you. And I just want to close today with reading once again this amazing benediction blessing that Paul prayed for the Thessalonians. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com, download our mobile app, or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.